So hi, Will and Grow Eyes Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with...
This is Luke from Unpeople.
And we have some questions to say about the upcoming self-titled EP. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you guys feel about the response to the announcement so far?
Yeah, it's been super cool. You know, the band is so new. It was nice to actually give a deadline to when the EP was coming out, because I think those people that knew about the band and that it was coming, because it was sort of built from the ashes of a previous band in a lot of respects, it was nice to kind of be like, here's finally a body of work that's coming out, and you know, you can sort of hopefully look forward to it, or maybe avoid it if you don't like it.
Hell yeah. Well, certainly not avoiding it over here. Jammed the EP earlier today. It fucking rocks.
It's so good.
Oh, thank you so much.
Of course.
Thank you. I really love it.
Hell yeah.
So is there any reason why this is your self-titled EP, and is there any meaning behind the cover art?
Yes and yes. So the reason why it's self-titled is we just felt it fit with the band at the stage we're at. And the reason we chose the name Unpeople is because it encompasses a lot of how we feel about, you know, just being a person, being a human, trying to figure out all of these complicated emotions that all of us feel universally. We liked how it sort of lent into a certain political leaning that was aligned with ours. And I think we felt like the name was so intentional because it encompassed so much of how we feel as people that it made sense to just use that name for our first EP, because again, it encompasses so much of like the lyrics thematically and yeah, just everything that we're kind of going for at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah. And then the cover art.
Yeah. So the cover art was actually done by my girlfriend, Bethany. And I think myself and Jake, who's the angry one, the angry guy in the middle of this band. And I think when we first started out the band, you know, we'd started writing together, and then eventually we took our time to sort of create the lineup with Meg and Richie. But right from the start, we'd always thought like, how does this band look, you know, visually, and what's the aesthetic? Because we felt like we're writing music that sounds a little bit different. You know, I think it's not necessarily like a carbon copy of another band. And we like to think we kind of sit in our own space respectively. Whether that's good or not is completely subjective and up to the listener. But for us, at least, we felt like, you know, there's something different here. So we should represent that visually in how we look and how, and the artwork that we do. And we were playing around with a bunch of concepts and ideas. And there's a few things that me and Jake had spoken about, but nothing felt quite right, and like it did the meanings of the song and the sort of the time and effort that we put into the music. I don't feel like I've been represented with artwork yet. And then Bethany just came along. She's like, let me try do something. She's really annoying and much more talented than I am. Like, she's one of those people that can, she'll just be like, I'm gonna make this, and then she'll do it to a really high level, no matter if it's like a scarf or a painting or a cake or, you know, anything. And then she just sort of delivered this sketch and drawing, and we all saw it and we were just like, that's it. It feels like time and care has been put into it. There's a lot of open sort of subtext in it. I think representing, you know, having the super vibrant colors with the very sort of like dark and bleak imagery felt very relevant to how we sound as a band. And yeah, there's certainly her sort of perspective conceptually that she had behind it, but I think we quite like that. Like, we've had a few interviews now and everyone's kind of taken away a different meaning from it, which we quite like.
Hell yeah. Well, awesome. You know, when I looked at the cover art for the first time, I got exactly what you said, which was like, you know, we wanted to portray that we're doing something different because the artwork is so not like 98% of the rest of the artwork that we come across every day. So like, I think that with, you know, you guys nailed that perfectly on the head. It came through without you even saying it directly to me. So,
oh, thank you. That's it. I mean, we can't really take credit for that other than saying that we like it and we want to use it.
But
all credit to Bethany. But I think something as well that I personally, and I know Jake feels very much the same way as this, but you know, we're just about old enough to remember going into a record store and picking an album because you liked what the cover looked like, you know. And I remember being young and just being like, well, that looks crazy, I wonder what that album sounds like. And I think it's been drilled into to people more and more with sort of like the big resurgence of vinyl, is that you get to see these amazing pieces of artwork blown up how they were intended to be viewed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a shame that, you know, and this isn't all bands, there's some bands with amazing artistry that we admire, but I think, like you said, there's a lot of artwork that looks very similar these days, and it feels a shame that I think for a while it felt like a bit of a lost art, where it's like you put all of this time and care and emotion into your art on the audio side, and then you don't dress it up with something that you feel does it justice. So I think for us, it was really important to have that. And every band's completely different, do you know what I mean? And every band has a different approach which works for them, and some are awesome and some aren't to personal preference, and some loads of people love and stuff. But for us, that was certainly something that we just wanted to make sure felt considered, you know, with this band.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
And I think that's coming through like in all parts of like packaging together an album or an EP, because like, you know, now more people are paying attention to the artwork, but I also feel like, you know, we ask and we're going to ask, well, no, it's an EP, so we're not going to ask you, but we ask anybody about not like an album, the track list order, things like that. And, you know, artists now, whereas a couple of years ago in the midst of the pandemic, it was just kind of, you know, we threw it together. Now it's like there's thought going into all those little things because of the resurgence of the physical media,
absolutely.
Which is definitely cool to see. So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the EP?
Sure. So myself and Jake, we were in a band previous to this called Presto Miko, and we basically, that was kind of like my baby since like, I think like 2010, and Jake was playing in a different band called Akoda. And we met in like, I think like 2015, and we were instantly sort of big fans of each other's bands. And I always say it was like, you know, the Step Brothers moment, where it's like, we, you know, we just saw, we both loved AC/DC and like the same guitars. It was just like, you know, did we just become best friends? And, you know, we always knew we'd end up in a band together. And then Jake actually ended up joining Presto Miko because we needed a bassist. And then we were a band, we did a record together for a few years, and then that all came to an end. But I think myself and Jake felt like we weren't done, so we started Unpeople. And with the writing, it was very much like, it was the first time we'd ever properly written together, because when Jake joined the previous band, you know, the album was like 80-90% done, and we were very much like refining it together and just getting Jake's external input on, you know, being like a tastemaker and refining instrument parts together and stuff. But this was like we were starting fresh, you know. So the writing process at the start was very much just like, well, I guess we start and see what happens. And then that sort of song started to come out of that. But I think we've very much found our flow now within that. But I think to answer your question, sorry, I went a very long way around answering that. But it's just quite a natural thing, you know, like dumbing it down. It's like there'll be a riff, for example, on the guitar. We might jam that in the room, or maybe me and Jake will work on that at mine, and then I'll sort of put like a rough structure of a song together, and then myself and Jake will put our heads together and work on vocals. And then once we've got that to a stage we're happy with, and Jake will be working on lyrics all that time, we'll be refining them together, and Jake will be coming up with more lyrics and more lyrics. He's like a machine. He's prolific with his lyrics. He's got notes and notes of lyrics. And then, you know, after that, we'll bring it to, you know, to the rehearsal room with Meg and Richie, and we'll work on drums. And then we'll just see, is this feeling good, or did we just like the idea of it, or was it flowing? And now this section's made us all feel like we don't want to play music anymore, or, you know, all of these decisions happen. But yeah, this is me condensing a long sort of drawn out process into quick bullet points. Mm-hmm. But it, like I said, I feel very fortunate that it does feel very organic in this band, and it doesn't feel too forced. And it sometimes the process can be different. Like there's a song on the EP called Waste, and that was from a guitar riff that Jake had for something else. And there was a song we liked at the time, which was in a certain tempo and syncopation, and we were like, it'd be kind of cool if we had a song like that. And then we started playing around with that idea, and then literally myself, Jake and Richie, the drummer, we just kind of started playing, and this whole song just happened. And It quite literally just came out in one, and obviously there's refinements, and then, you know, we go and change bits and that, but pretty much the structure that ended up on the EP is the song that we just sort of, it just came out. Like, I know it sounds weird to say, but we was all sort of looking at each other like, oh, we all did the same thing. And then, you know, like we all kept going. So yeah, that's super cool.
Hell yeah. Love
Hell
that.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome. So what song off this EP took longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
I think Overthinking took longest because I think that was the one that for a while, like myself and Jake had, we had like the main ingredients of it. Like we had like the verse vibe, we had the chorus, we kind of knew where we wanted it to go for like a bridge. But then it was always that song that was like there, like we know this isn't quite there yet. All of the others, they came together and they felt pretty strong, and they were close to they felt close to what we'd end up releasing. But Overthinking was always the one that had like a little sort of bit of a question mark over it. And then I think it was Changing the second verse. There's like an evolution halfway through the second verse that we just played around with, and I think as soon as we had added that, it just transformed the song for us. And now, and coincidentally, I think that might be currently my favorite song of the EP. I know, I think Jake really connects with that one, and Richie does as well. Meg's favorite is Smother for sure.
Hell yeah.
Sounds good.
So for this question, I want you to pick your favorite lyric off the EP and tell us the meaning behind it.
Oh, this is much more a Jake question. but I do really like the opening line of Smother. Are you being honest with yourself? Because I think he did such a good job at creating an opening line that's so engaging, you know, in my opinion. The nice thing for me is like, although we refine the lyrics together and I may have like the odd bit of input here and there, you know, Jake's really like the wordsmith of the band, you know, and he's very good at articulating sort of the thematic themes that we might talk about and just putting it into words. So I think I'm so self-deprecating. I get to be a fan of that because I didn't, you know, it's not like I love what I did there. It's like I can just appreciate the words that he puts to these songs for the most part. And I remember when we were laying down vocals and writing vocals to Smother, he just came out with that and I instantly sort of just felt something. And I think someone got a tattoo of it as well, which is, it's definitely of the song title, but I can't remember if they had that lyric on them as well. I might be butchering that. It might be a completely different song, but I think it was Mother.
Well, a tattoo of your music's badass anyway. It doesn't matter what song it is.
It's crazy. And I think that was just, you know, a real testament to that line connecting as it was intended. So I think that's the first one that jumps out to me. There's definitely others as well.
Hell yeah. Love it.
Sounds good. So would you be able to tell us where headspace is at while you're creating this EP?
Sure. I think for myself and Jake, like we've been to both extremes during the process of this EP. I mean, the band, I think, you know, Smother again, I think is a song that for us has a lot of emotional weight behind it because, you know, that was a song where I was in just a crazy sort of place in my own head, and I sort of had a bit of a breakdown and it all just came out, and like the chorus lyrics came out in the moment. Like I said, I'm not the lyricist, but that was like the one sort of exception to the rule where just these words came out and they felt right. And Jake heard them and didn't really want to change him because he felt like they worked. And Jake on it, he was in a crazy place on his own. Maybe some big life changes were happening and he was questioning a lot of what he was doing and whether there's certain commitments that he was involved in that he wanted to pursue or whether it was time to change. And I think that song in particular has a real emotional connection to where myself and Jake were at in particular in our lives, because it felt like a bit of a crazy time. And even with just, you know, the previous band breaking up and we had like the embryo of this band, there was a lot of like, are we sure we want to do this, and we still want to go down, you know, do the rat race again and you know, just pursue being in a band, which is a crazy thing to do and I wouldn't recommend it, and you have to do it because you love it.
And
you know, through that we found that we do love it, and it turned into a really positive thing that we do, this is still the thing that we really want to do, and we're proving that to ourselves by how this is all we can think about right now and how determined we are to get it off the ground and find the right people, you know, again, in Megan Ritchie to bring into the project and just launch it. So, yeah, I can't actually remember what the question was, but that's,
Headspace.
That's smothered.
Headspace. Yeah. You kind of got it perfectly. Yeah.
Curious because, you know, we're talking the last band kind of, it folded, it ended, and then this was resurrected from the ashes of that previous band, like, and then you know, you brought in the other members. What are like the bookends, the start and end points on the EP, like the writing process?
In what regard do you mean, in regards to when we started writing versus when we stopped, or
writing and then, you know, finished, then like put the final, that's it, we're done, hands off?
So we knew that, so our previous band was called Prestamico. We knew that that band was going to end at the end of 2021. So that, which is what's funny, because Jake actually figured out that when Smother dropped, which was the first single we'd put out, it was literally 2 years to the day that we'd had that meeting where we decided the band was gonna disband and we were going to do something new. And like, and at the end of that meeting that we had with Prestamico, it was one of those things where me and Jake went away and we instantly messaged each other just like, well, I don't feel like I'm done, how do you feel? And he was like, yep, I think it's time for us to kind of do our own band that we'd always wanted to do, and where we both play guitar. And you know, Jake had this like front man bubbling inside of him that I feel like he needed to get out. And you know, he's so talented on all, on so many different instruments. He was always the guy to join other people's bands. You know, even his previous band called Akoda, that I'd say in the UK and locally, he's most known for being in, even that, he was someone else's band that he joined, you know, and this was the first chance he had to have his own thing right from the start. So it was very much one of those things where it's like, we're not done. So I think literally a few weeks after that, we got together, maybe even 2 weeks, it was really close, and we just grabbed some guitars and we were like, let's see what happens. And then that's turned into what you know now.
Gotcha. Shit. All right. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this EP for the first time? Should you do in the car with friends and talk with headphones on? Is workout EP, party EP? What do you personally recommend?
That is, I couldn't possibly answer that question for everyone. That's
well, we're not looking for everyone. Just like general census. Yeah. How would you listen to it for the first time? How did you?
I would listen to it just to hear. I guess just to hear some music.
Yeah, fair enough. Just what like
we've always been a band that we really like. Stuff that you can interpret however makes you feel, however you're going to connect with music, and for me, on a broader sense, art in general, however that connection happens, the, you know, is irrelevant. I think that if you find this piece of music or any of our music and it hits you at a certain time in a certain way, and that's when you felt the most, that's perfect. You know, I think there's no one rule that suits everyone with that.
That's fair.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. Yeah. So this one should be super, super quick. Off the top of your head, I want you to describe this EP for new listeners in 3 words. No more, no less.
British alternative rock.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good.
That works, yeah.
Yeah, and we like being broad.
Yeah. So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the EP?
Again, you know, I feel like I'm being a bit boring here, but it's like, however, if the music connects with you and makes you feel something, for us as artists and creative, that's the goal, right? Even if it makes you like feel furious because you hate it that much, it's like that still provokes an emotion. That's absolutely fine. You can hate it, but if you connect with it on an emotional level where you feel like it's helped you through something, or if you connect with it just because it makes you feel good, or if it makes you want to headbang or whatever that is, you know, that I don't feel that's for me or any of us to say. I think it's, yeah, however you interpret the music's good with me.
Fair enough.
I would like to try listening to it, even if you don't like it. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments for the creation of this EP, positive or negative?
I think, in a, you know, just reiterating the the writing process of Smother. That was quite, like, I personally found that quite cathartic, you know, just because I was in a real bad place and just that song came out and it was just like, oh, I do have this thing that makes, gives me purpose, you know. So I think that was a, for me personally, that was a real nice one. And again, you know, the song Waste was a real positive one where it was just like, we started playing and the song came out and we were just looking at each other like, what is going on? Like, it's like, you know, but for, I think collectively as a band, just getting like that final takedown, because we recorded it all ourselves, and, you know, sort of produced it and co-produced it with an amazing producer called Machine. We did that remotely because he's over in Texas and New Jersey. He's between the two locations and we're in, you know, like in the Southeast in the UK. It, that was fun. But I think the sense of accomplishment of just pushing play and hearing the final version and being like, we, you know, we did that, was a really cool feeling.
Hell yeah. I love that. Did you guys struggle at all with like doing the co-producing over Zoom, different, you know, not being together all in the same room? Did you guys struggle with that at all? Or was that pretty easy for you?
No, I think, I always say, like, on people, I always say, like, we're undercover old. So it's like we've been playing music for a long time. And, you know, like, with Prestamica, I did 3 albums. And that's just one band, you know. And Jake's, we've all 4 musicians in this band have been involved in various creative projects. And we've all been in bands. Like, me, Jake and Richie especially, we started playing live when we were, like, 11 or 12. And Meg was like, 13, 14, I think. So we've been at it for a long time. And I think because we've been through the process so many times, you kind of know roughly what you do. But it was certainly a little bit daunting being like, okay, we've done pre-production, which we did with Machine, where it's like we wanted that external opinion that we really trust on the songs, being like, maybe this section could be a little bit stronger, or maybe we could refine it here. And funnily enough, this was probably the project that had the least stuff that got changed in the pre-production side of things. But then after that, it was really, you know, we're under Machine's guidance with some technical things and how to mic stuff up and maybe how to, you know, track stuff so it was in the best condition for him to mix. Mm-hmm. It was really, we were just kind of on our own and just sort of doing, figuring it out as we went along and just being quite creatively, you know, as open as we could be. And yeah, just kind of seeing what would happen. It was one of the, it was a very new thing for all of us to be doing our own project. Richie's, you know, Richie does a lot of production on his own as well. And he really was, you know, without him, we would have struggled because he engineered the majority of the record, you know, like me and Jake recorded guitars together and engineered them. But Richie was really like, without him, the projects would have just been a mess. Like he and stuff would have been done wrong. And there'd be stuff in the wrong place and there'd be stuff missing. And he was like the, you know, the just, yeah, he was like a godsend for that process. So we were really fortunate to have him. But in regards to the production side of thing, it's kind of just like writing music, really. You know, you're listening as objectively as you can to what could be stronger or maybe layers that you might hear or stuff that you might want to be, you know, have a bit of a light shone on a little bit more, so maybe you track it up a bit more, you add in a new textural layer or anything. And yeah, it was kind of, I feel like we were semi learning on the job, semi putting everything we'd learned from previous projects into practice with this.
Oh,
love that. Hell yeah. So for this question, why don't you picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop, what is your snack of choice?
Oh man. For me personally, it would be some kind of spicy crisp.
Ooh,
I think.
Okay.
What would yours be?
Oh my god, I always forget. I'll go with like Cheez-Its. I love a good Cheez-It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dill pickle potato chips.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think if I had to answer for the other three, I think Meg would have like a Dr. Pepper. I feel like maybe she wouldn't have a snack, but I know she loves Dr. Pepper. Like, it's like, you know, crazy for her. Jake would have, do you have caramel wafers in the States?
Caramel wafers. Are they like the stacked wafers where it's like a very thin layer of like cream in between? Yeah. Like, Yes.
Like, I think these ones might be, they're a Scottish biscuit, basically. But if you look them up, they're like, it's like a chocolate coated wafer with like caramel in it. If you imagine that. So
Ooh.
Jake like inhales them. Like he will eat a pack of them like faster than anything. And saying that, I've got a problem with mints. Like if I have a pack of mints, I'll eat one and then
Game
I
over.
just can't stop.
Yeah.
It's like
Yeah, I get
it's like my one Achilles heel. I can't
Mints.
stop. And Richie would have something, some kind of like protein muffin that he's made himself.
Right.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
like
Gotcha.
Richie comes prepared. Richie will have some kind of like vegan protein muffin that he made enough to last him a month-long tour, and he's got it all planned out. That he has to have this one today, this one tomorrow, and then his protein intake
Is all set.
is
That's
consistent.
fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah. And on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
My goodness. What kind of dish has like loads of stuff thrown in? Like paella?
Yeah,
So
paella.
we'd be
There you go.
right.
Yeah. Yeah, like loads of different flavors and lots of different things. And hopefully there's something for everyone in there. But
Yeah.
also respect that some people hate paella, which is
Yeah,
also fun.
that's
There you
true.
go.
Yeah.
All right. And for the last couple of questions, going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So if you're on
Okay.
death row, what would your last meal be with a drink?
I think it would probably be some kind of curry from our local curry house with some kind of like, I'd want it to be, how literal does this be? Can I make up a drink as it's like my last one? Can I get like the world's best brains to make me what I think might be the nicest drink? Okay,
Yeah.
I think it would be some kind of like tropical juice, but they'd somehow find a way to have like a ginger beer element in there,
Ooh.
but also give you the satisfaction of a really nice milkshake.
Okay.
If like Willy Wonka could construct that for me,
Yeah.
like
The
right,
man
and it hits
himself.
all of those check marks, that would be great. And then yeah, some kind of curry, because in the States I don't think you have curry like UK curry, right, where it's like really thick and creamy. So because I remember all of my friends that come over from the US, they always want to try like local curry houses, and
Yeah.
then they're like, oh, we get it now, because it's our curry is not like Indian curry either. It's like
No.
it's its own genre.
It's like a
But
sauce, right?
yeah, it's like a
Yeah.
thick like really like spicy flavorsome sauce. So
Yeah, and you guys put it on like French fries, right?
Some people have curry sauce with chips, but I'd have a more like, I'd have one with rice and maybe like, I don't know, prawns or something in there.
Okay.
All right, sounds
Sounds
good.
interesting. I'll have to try it for myself. I'll have to try it for myself.
Yeah, you've got to try one.
So, if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
Fictional world. Oh, I'd live. Have you seen the program Adventure Time?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd live there.
Hell yeah.
Like
Hell yeah.
one of my favorite programs ever. Like
Damn
it's,
right.
yeah,
Hell yeah.
it's genius.
And I have the honor of asking the last question. Every single person that we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
Oh man. That's the hardest question you've asked.
I
Yeah.
know.
But how can you pick one?
Right?
Can you choose one? Like they're all so good. And I feel like one is so much better. Is if you lean towards one, that's only because all of the others exists, that you've got a reference point. You know, it's like
Yeah.
that alone might not be as good as when you've got the others to contrast it with. I'm sorry, I'm making this way deeper than it needs to
Was
be.
going to say, you're
No,
making this really deep.
no, you're taking it as serious as most people should take it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Course.
I literally don't know. What happens if you put all the colors together? You normally get brown, don't you?
Yeah, it's usually like a very like
Let's go
greenish brown.
moldy brown, because
Oh.
because
That's
that's
all
all
of
of
them.
them. That's all of them.
All right.
What
All
all of them makes, I'll have that.
right,
Oh,
sounds
all
good.
right.
So as I said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
Just our EP, please listen to it. Is this coming out pre or post?
Most likely post.
Okay, cool. Well, our EP's out now, our debut EP. It's called Unpeople. Please listen to it. It's out on a dream label of ours called Sharptone Records. And yeah, there might be something in there for you to enjoy.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, thank you for sounds. It's been Luke from Unpeople, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.